Good afternoon, and welcome to another Sunday's programming of Wellness Half Hour. Each Sunday, every Sunday, by God's grace, we come to you to share perspectives on our health that give reverence to the source of our being. We impart that wellness is our gift, our starting point. Yes, gift from our Father in heaven. And so when we have any health issues, we always pause and ask ourselves, where did I drift away from our gift in heaven? Today's show is going to be about children. We have two awesome guests who with tons of experience. But before we get going with our guest, we impart that there's five pillars to wellness: spirituality, mindset, nutrition, lifestyle, and environment. Take out your pencils and papers, your Byron paper, and write down this quotation. The further we drift away from Mother Nature, the sooner she says, return to sender. The further we drift away, or you could say the further we stray away from Mother Nature, the sooner she says, return to sender. And that comes to mind because of the cases that have come to our doors this week. Folks in their 20s with stage 4 cancer. Folks with issues from childhood that haven't been resolved, that today have mounted into health manifestations. Our program today is about children. We want to start them right, start them young. We have two awesome guests with us who are celebrating the 10 years of their practice. You all have heard of Pediatric Partners Hospital. Like, they're more than a hospital. They're a caring center. They just care for children from the time they step into the world till they're young adults. It's a center that's full of love, compassion, energy. Nurses at the top of their game. I mean, when the nurses move out of Pete's Partners, they're ready to go abroad because they've been that well just trained. They've fermented so well at that facility. Folks, I'm going to introduce two awesome ladies. On my right, in the dazzling, you know, men, we don't know colors, so. Which one is this color?
Blue.
In this one of you. Dr. Ekwase Sanusi. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon, Dr. Jerry. And good afternoon, everybody. Hello.
And further, Dr. Atinuke Uwaje. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be back again.
She has this just delightful, very creative, I mean, you call them head wraps, but that's what we men who don't know the details call them. But it's more than a head wrap. The style of it is definitely quite distinct.
Thank you.
We just honored to have both of you here on a Sunday. Greetings. I know Pete's Partners Hospital is celebrating 10 years. And there's been activities all week commemorating this journey of being one of the finest pediatric facilities here in Lagos. You can just give us a nutshell, where did it all start? And then we'll delve into our topic for today regarding children and some of these COVID issues.
Thank you, Dr. Patrick. 2011, October 11th, Pediatric Partners started. And Dr. Wajid and I, we wanted to do pediatrics just the way it was practiced in America. And we've been at it for 10 years. We've had a lot of challenges along the way, but we're still there. And it's been an honor and just a wonderful time, you know, being open these 10 years. It's more like a network. We've met a lot of wonderful families. We've taken care of many children, a lot of our children. Some of them are even married now. And it's just been wonderful. We met you along the way while we were doing our pediatric work, and we were giving a talk in a school. So that's right. How we actually met. So it's actually a network. And the thing about life, it's more than just anything you can imagine. When you meet a lot of nice people, you make a difference in their lives. You see young children, they grow up and they're committed to what they do and they're doing well. Flourishing families is what we do. And that's really what it is. Dr. Waje.
Yes, thank you everyone. It's been a journey and we're just grateful to God and to the families who have believed in us to make us their preferred provider. We're not just there only for sickness, but it's important for us that our children, they grow well and that they are healthy. So we just don't want you to think, oh, it's only when Johnny has a fever that you need to see us. We want to see Johnny growing. We've been able to, in our practice at least, to be able to find children who have had issues with development, obesity, poor weight gain, so many things, you know, immunizations. You know, those things are important to us. Even mental health, depression, anxiety, those are things that we talk about and so you coming to Pediatric Partners is not just about anti-malaria or antibiotics. You know, we look at the whole family in totality. And that's really what good health is all about. Thank you.
And it's not just about vaccines. It's also about how everybody's doing. So, yes.
Did you hear that? From the cradle. They take care of you. Don't wait till you get sick. That's the paradigm shift. They want the child to be well in all aspects. Physically, emotionally, mentally, intellectually.
Exactly.
In other words, they will be your co-sojourners on this travel as a child goes from cradle all the way to early adulthood. Sweet. Delighted to see both of you. It's been a bit of a time.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Thanks for having us.
When we open the lines, you can call and ask questions beyond what we're talking about today, about Pete's Partners, about your children's issues. But we're going to spend a small time discussing COVID issues regarding children. There's been a lot of controversy. I mean, there are some furious parents on the social media. There's reports of all kinds of concerns. Why are children getting involved in COVID? They are the least affected group. They have been vaccinated. We're seeing issues of myocarditis in teenagers. Illness that weren't really seen in children before. Doctor, please help us clear this muddy field and understand what is going on and why are things going on this way in children and COVID.
Okay. Okay, so the world was changed after COVID, the pandemic started. It started in November of 2019. A lot of people thought it was still in China. And I still work in America. I spend some time in America. And here, we were seeing a lot of children coming in with flu-like symptoms. Everybody in the class, out of a class of 30 children, 25 children were out. And we were like, well, everybody's flu test is negative. So what's going on? We heard about the pandemic way over in China, but we were like, oh, it's not here yet. Guess what? The pandemic had started and it was already going worldwide from 2019, November, December. A lot of people had moved to Europe from China. There was a lot of spread, but people didn't know. So the truth is the pandemic started in November and it's been with us since then. We know more about the virus now than we did then. Some special groups have said, well, it's something that was created in a lab. Many people are not sure of what it is, but the bottom line is it's a virus, and a virus is a living thing. Viruses tend to spread very quickly, and so as of right now, we're still in the pandemic. We've had vaccines that have been developed for children 12 years and over. We've had a lot of development in knowing more about the virus and how it spread. You could be asymptomatic and spread the virus, and you could be very, very sick and not spread the virus. But the bottom line is there's a vaccine which is effective. We're not seeing as much mortality and morbidity now in children. And children actually did not bear the brunt of the release of the bad sickness. More adults died than children did. But a lot of children that we see, they can be bouncing off the walls, they can be playing and jumping all around the place. When there's a history of exposure, you check them, especially if your family member had it, they are positive. And a lot of, you get a lot of WhatsApp messages about how the virus is not real. It's a figment of our imagination. And some special interest groups say, oh, that the vaccine was, church members are saying they're not getting the vaccine because it was created from their abortuses or fetuses of the body. And there's so much misinformation out there. And the bottom line is, it's not true. The vaccine has helped to decrease mortality rates. And we're finding out that, especially in healthcare workers, when they get the vaccine, if they get sick with the illness, they're not as sick as they would otherwise be. We're still recommending quarantine, 10 to 14 days. We follow the CDC recommendations very closely. We have children that are immunized and they are going to school now. The schools are still mandating that people wear masks in many places. We do recommend masks because that's not going to hurt. And even when children are vaccinated and they're exposed, they're not under the that thing of, well, you have to be in 10 days of quarantine. As long as they don't have symptoms, they can still go to school if they're immunized. But on the third day after the exposure, it's recommended that they get tested. So there's a lot of requirements out there. But the bottom line is, vaccines have been around for 70 or 80 years. When the vaccines came out, many people said, oh, it was something to control the mark of the beast. And that's not true. Vaccines have saved lives. So if you're out there and you're thinking about getting a vaccination, if you're not sure about the COVID vaccination, talk to your healthcare worker and get the information to stay safe. We need you around as long as possible, please. Thanks.
Thank you. I want to talk about the myth surrounding the COVID-19 virus. You know, the moment everybody knows, oh, you're coughing or something, people are already prescribing you chloroquine, ivermectin, mega doses of zinc and vitamin D and all of that. Even some people added vitamin E to the cocktail. And for pediatrics, you know, what I have told our parents, we don't subscribe to all those mega doses, all right? Studies are still being done to find out if ivermectin works to treat COVID-19 virus. They're telling us that the study is looking good, but they have actually found that the dosage for the ivermectin is a lot in the lab. You know, it's not the same one that we use in treating elephantiasis and all of those parasitic infection. So right now, you know, it's out there. We don't know the right dosage to use in the treatment of COVID-19 virus. And then please, chloroquine right now is being used for some anti-inflammatory disorders like rheumatoid arthritis. You know, there are people that are meant to take chloroquine. So if those of us that we supposedly believe we have COVID, we're taking chloroquine, then we're taking medication away from people that really, really, really need it. Chloroquine has been found to not be effective. You know, just as Dr. Sanusi said, COVID-19, very strange. We've never had it before. So many people threw a lot of stuff at it. And once you think, oh, somebody is getting well, forgetting that it's actually a virus and it probably might run its course, then people come out and say, oh, I've used ivermectin. Oh, I've used, you know, so many things. And they've said, oh, because of that, that is why it's working. So please, before you just go on Dr. Google, I would suggest that you talk to your healthcare provider. If you believe that you have COVID symptoms, let them take you through. And if you're really, really sick, then you need to be in isolation or to go to the government-designated centers to be treated. There are also some private hospitals now that have been designated for COVID-19 treatment. So in children, we just say continue with your regular, vitamins. Please don't put your child on any mega doses of those vitamins. Don't put on mega doses of zinc. Please talk to your doctor and don't just go and start on so many things just like that. Make sure that you have, you're carrying your doctor along before you take any of those medications.
I want to pick up a statement you just made about it's a virus. It will run its course. That's what we're all used to. Viruses over the decades. I have to run this course, and if you get better, which most of us do as children, from chicken pox and, and mumps and all others,
right,
you're immune to it, pretty much for life.
Yes, yes.
So why is there all the hullabaloo about COVID? Like, let us run its course.
Exactly. And I think that's what we're getting to now, that if we're able to get herd immunity, either through the vaccine or through natural infection, that it's not, you know, the sting of it would not be as bad as right now, that everybody is so it's virgin to all of us. We've never had this illness before.
Right. That happened in the Spanish flu. There was a Spanish flu in 2018 in America.
Exactly. Yes.
And a lot of people died from it. But with time, everybody has had the flu. Everybody has been immunized. Or if they've not had the flu, they've been immunized. And now people are not dying from the flu, unlike when it was a new illness in 2018. And the thing is, this new illness... So the bottom line is, the truth is, most people have had probably had COVID and they didn't know.
Yes.
And the only reason you will know that you've had COVID is if you do an antibody test. So if you've had COVID and you did know you had it and you want to know before you take vaccines, do your antibody test. But if you're not able to do your antibody test and you had a period where you couldn't smell and you couldn't taste, you probably had. You've probably, and I think that most people have either had the COVID and has or been vaccinated. Most people have antibodies. And as people have gotten it and gotten better, then it's not going to be killing people anymore. And that's really what it is.
That's really what we're praying for.
If I'm hearing you correctly, if you've been exposed to COVID, you've had it, you have antibodies, surely you're covered.
You're covered, mm-hmm. Right.
But there's still the push that even though you've had the vaccine, they've had the ailment, once you still take the vaccine. For example, in Israel, whether you've antibody positive or not, the push is everybody must get the vaccine.
Right.
And now we're seeing that the vaccine's duration of immune protection is six months or less.
Right. Yes.
And so in Israel, they've demanded everyone do a third dose.
Yes.
And now we're hearing talk about a...
Maybe a fourth one.
Well, that's the thing. There's still a lot of unknowns. But the bottom line is, you know, as things evolve and we know more about it, it doesn't hurt to get the vaccine. If you had the illness already, you've had antibodies, it's just going to boost your immunity. It's not going to hurt. Mm. But when we say self-limiting, I tell people, I say most viruses last 7 to 10 days, sometimes up to 2 weeks. And that's why we're saying be in quarantine. The CDC recommends 10 to 14 days because that's the period of time that the illness usually lasts for. Mm-hmm. So self-limiting means that it runs its course. But I tell people, I said, the more you drink, the more you pee. Every time you pee, you're flushing out that virus. So as you use the bathroom, you know that the virus is leaving your system. So even the infectious disease specialist, you speak to them, and they, in the past, when we have something else called the multisystem inflammatory syndrome of COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's almost like a Kawasaki kind of illness where the body's basically self-destructing, or you create antibodies. The COVID has created a state where the immune system is causing destruction of the body's cells. So a lot of people that are coming in with that, all they're getting is support. They're not even getting antibiotics anymore because antibiotics only kills bacteria. It doesn't kill viruses. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of new. So they're doing what is called less is more. Basically, you're putting the patient, if they need to have oxygen supplementation, you put them on oxygen supplementation and give them IV fluids to help to flush out the illness. But antibiotics, they're not even recommending it anymore, especially for involvement.
Initially, because very few people knew the cause of this illness.
Right.
Everybody with low oxygen, you come in and you are toxic. Your oxygen level is in the low 80s and it's falling. Yeah, they're hooking you up immediately to the ventilator. We realized that we actually did more damage, more harm to those people that were placed on the ventilator than to just support them with the oxygen. Because really, you know, at the end of the day, they realized that, you know, the way that the virus worked was not, you know, because of the hypoxia, but it was because it was destroying and there was hemorrhagic destruction of the alveoli and the cells that's causing the person to be hypoxic.
Okay. So COVID and children, how do you talk to a mother who comes to you, her son got the vaccine let's say a month ago, and the son is coming in with chest pains, fever, chills, and then you guys do all your tests and say it looks like he has a myocarditis. When we say the vaccine does not hurt, we're very careful not to say so, because the data is very clear. that children who are well are not getting the vaccines, and many of them are coming down with ailments, from fevers to the worst one we are seeing is myocarditis. How do you tell a mother who says, either my son got myocarditis, or we've seen the data from Israel, data from the US and the UK, children coming out with myocarditis, teenagers who were healthy playing sport, playing ball and basketball. How do you address such a parent?
I think right now they're still trying to collate all of those data to actually know exactly, you know, why are some people more prone to getting this and others are not. You know, it's similar to, you know, with the Johnson & Johnson. Yes, I believe it was the Johnson & Johnson and people with higher incidence of DVTs and all that, you know. So, you know, we don't know the percentage of people that will have this myocarditis or even the multisystemic inflammatory syndrome in children, you know, as a result of COVID infection. So we're still collating those data. And I think that the more we're able to see how these children and others who have had supposedly adverse reaction to these vaccines, you know, the more we know about them, the more we're able to tailor the newer vaccines as they come out. It's similar to, you know, when diphtheria first came out and pertussis and some of the adverse reaction. We had people with getting encephalitis because of, you know, the vaccines.
Side effects of vaccines have been around for a long time.
A long time. So,
and you will have people that will react adversely to them.
To them. And it's very important if, you know, your child was vaccinated, you know, we're actually, you know, now it's, I think, 12 and above.
Yeah.
They're still thinking between 5 and 12 as well for the vaccine. If your child was vaccinated, which we have not started doing in Nigeria, I think we're still, you know, concentrating on adults. And you realize that your child is sickly and is not feeling well, or even if you yourself, you know, we expect, you know, some flu-like symptoms after you get the vaccine. But if this is more than just the flu, it's important for us to know, because those are the way that we're able to create better vaccines to protect us from those ailments.
Okay. Coronaviruses have been around for the longest time.
Yeah. Right.
You mentioned the flu. In the US, we have flu season.
Yes.
From around November, December, and we understand that part of it is because of the decreasing sun exposure when our indoors immune system drops. So the first question is, how do we ensure that immune systems don't drop in the typical flu months of the year? And the second question has to do with the common flu. Every year the manufacturers try and tweak the vaccine for that year.
Yeah.
They try and guess which strain, which variants will show up this year.
Mm-hmm.
Is it H2, N3 or N1, H5? Half the time or more, they miss it. But people still buy and take the flu shot.
Right.
But that's not mandated. They admit it's guesswork to predict what's coming out next. Now we see the original COVID has given rise to Delta, Mu. We have there's Gamma and Lambda now.
Different.
Why should I give my child a vaccine when the strain next year and the year after will
it's
be
so on,
different?
We don't know.
And we don't know.
Well, the thing about the vaccine, I mean, it's a tool. It's just one of the tools that will help to prevent COVID spread, but it's not the only tool. So it has to be used in combination with being careful, being very cautious to avoid large gatherings still, using your hand sanitizers when you go places and before you eat, washing your hands and basically doing the hygiene that needs to be done to prevent getting the illness. So I think, I think it's a combination of different things, and one has to be cautious to do them.
Yes. Okay. And also, you know, just making sure you're eating the right food, things
exercise.
To boost your immunity,
yep.
You know, exercise, adequate hydration. Well, perhaps the only good thing that COVID has done for us is to teach us on hand washing. That's really the bread and butter of pediatrics. We've always said good hand washing, it prevents so many ailments. So if anything at all, it has made us to be more aware of the importance of hand washing.
You know, delighted to hear you. I remember in primary school, it was drummed into our heads. Yes. Morning, afternoon, evening, wash your hands.
Before you eat, wash your hands. Using the bathroom, wash your hands.
So if COVID has gotten us to, has caused us to become more into hand washing and hand hygiene.
Yes.
Lassa fever, has it gotten us to have cleaner cities?
Well, Lassa fever was not as, was not a pandemic all over the world.
Unfortunately,
it's our own local brew now. It's a local brew.
And actually, we have more people with Lassa fever in Nigeria than COVID. Actually, wow. You know, and really, if because I remember when you know we're just still getting this issue about COVID, and I kept telling people, but Lassa fever is here too. And people are like, yes. The importance of keeping our environment clean, reducing rats and rodents and things like that, covering your food, you know, it's very, very important. I honestly wish that Lassa fever too could have as much public enlightenment as COVID has, because that would really, really, really help us to reduce those incidents.
But I think the measures that have been put in place for COVID has also helped to decrease illnesses generally.
Exactly.
Because let me give you an example. We've not seen any influenza in our health system to date because of COVID.
COVID.
This is in Atlanta. We have not seen zero
because people
influenza
social
because
distancing,
everybody
hand washing
and masks. Everybody's wearing masks. So that flu we're talking about, nobody has had it, but we're seeing COVID.
All right. Let me open the lines again. Twist the question here. We're taught that interacting socially helps to build both individual and group immunity. Child and the mother coughs at the child, picks up a bug, the child gets immune to it. Child goes to school, picks up 3 bugs from his classmates, brings it home, gives it to daddy and mommy. Then mommy, they get sick and get over it, build their immunity. If we're all covering our mouth and our nose, and nobody's exchanging this one from the one from school, the one from the office, the one from our old boys meeting, are we, over the long term, putting our collective immune system at risk?
That's a big question, actually.
Yes.
And that has been raised multiple times. And
I still think that it's because we still don't know, we haven't really studied COVID so well that we know how it's going to manifest. That is actually better. I'm seeing us, you know, COVID is going to be like the flu. And we really, really don't cover our noses and all of that. You know, if we understand, you know, the way this virus is, you know, eventually its thing, you know, it's not going to be as worse as it was initially. Because now we all have antibodies, we've built up immunities against it. So that, you know, oh, you have COVID, sorry.
Right.
That's how it's going to be eventually.
We'll open the lines. 07. Oh, I'm told there's no time. What's it?
Oops.
Time flies. Wait,
oh my
time has already gone. Ouch. So folks, 10 years of Pediatric Partners Hospital, Dr. Sanusi, Dr. Owaja came together, trained in the US, came back home to put this facility together to really provide world-class, world-standard care for our children. Like they've said, it's not about being sick or keep them well. They're to journey with you to make sure these children meet all their milestones and get to the point of absolute wellness, including that immune system. All the food and give them the chop and they make them sick. You need to know about that too. So check out Pediatric Partners Hospital. There's a lot to learn from these awesome ladies who have come back selflessly to bring us children's health at its finest. Dr. Sanusi and Dr. Owaja, thank you, thank you, thank you. Any parting words, please go ahead.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Jerry. Thank you for to our listeners and our Pediatric Partners. We're here to stay. You know, we're on this journey together with you all. We believe in healthy lifestyle. The more you boost your immunity, the better for your child. And please, good hand washing. It's going to help prevent so many ailments. Thank you.
Immune boosting has to do with lifestyle. So the more vegetables, especially green vegetables, your children eat, the better their immune system, the more they spend outside in outdoor activity. Vitamin D from the sun is actually a very good immune booster. Children who have a high level of vitamin D don't get sick like children who don't. Yeah. And then, you know, just that well-being, make sure that they're doing some kind of sports, and they're also, they just make sure that they're eating well and drinking lots of water. And that's simple and straightforward. Thank you.
With that said,